This is Jim Thomas welcoming you to the Message Share Ministry of the Sovereign Grace Baptist Church, located in Muncie, Pennsdale, Pennsylvania. The message you are about to hear was preached in a worship service. After some congregational singing, our speaker is William P. Robbins, who is a pastor and elder.
This next hymn says, "I long to be like Jesus." And that's what holiness is about. Will you sing with me 430? Father, we're grateful that you hear us because of Christ's work at Calvary. Thank you. It's not of our own doings. And so tonight you have promised that where two or three are gathered, and Lord, it isn't much more than that tonight, but as our brother said this morning, there's a heavenly host, and we don't understand what they can learn from us, but as we exalt Christ, they certainly will learn some things. Help us to exalt our Lord Jesus tonight. Help us to understand the precious words that you have for us, the Word of God. Help us to enter in and find ourselves strengthened and fed and our Father, encouraged to go forth and live for our Lord Jesus. Bless us in our time together in the study and also in the observance of the Lord's Supper. In his precious name, who loved us and gave his life for us, we pray. Amen. Please be seated. Let's sing another hymn or so. This hymn number 724, we often sing at the end of the service, or people do, but oh, it speaks about being like the Lord Jesus too. 724. John's Gospel, chapter 19. Gospel of John, chapter 19. On the subject of Jesus' blood and holiness. In my readings, I came across this passage, and I thought, wow, I need to look at that a little more, and I've been studying it. And so I want us to consider about our Lord Jesus, and I would like us to start reading, or I'll read, in the 28th verse of this 19th chapter. After this, it's speaking about our Lord Jesus and the crucifixion. I'm in John's Gospel, chapter 19, and I'm starting at verse 28. After this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the Scripture might be fulfilled, saith, I thirst. Now, there was set a vessel full of vinegar, and they filled a sponge with vinegar and put it upon a hyssop and put it to his mouth. When Jesus, therefore, had received the vinegar, he said, it is finished. And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. The Jews, therefore, because it was the preparation that the body should not remain upon the cross on the Sabbath day, for the Sabbath day was a high day, besought Pilate that their legs might be broken and that they might be taken away. Then came the soldiers and brake the legs of the first and of the other which was crucified with him. But when they came to Jesus, and saw that he was dead already, they break not his legs. One of the soldiers with a spear, and this is my verse tonight, one of the soldiers with a spear pierced his side, and forthwith came there out blood and water. And he that saw it bear record, and his record is true, and he knoweth that he saith true, that ye might believe. For these things were done, that the scripture should be fulfilled. A bone of him should not be broken. And again, another scripture saith, they shall look on him whom they pierced. This is the word of God, and may his blessing be upon our study of it tonight. Now, this matter of holiness and the blood of Christ in verse 34, one wound represents one cross, and out came blood and water, and they speak very clearly. The blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin, has to do with justification, and the water in the scriptures speak about the word of God cleansing us. And so we have here justification and we have sanctification. I think it's marvelous. Now, I was looking for a hymn. This is not quite the one I wanted. It's not in our hymnal, but this will pretty much do what I want us to see tonight. And that is, holiness is to be more Christ-like. The hymn that I would be like Jesus. Earthly pleasures vainly call me. I would be like Jesus. Nothing worldly show enthrall me. I'd be like Jesus. And so be like Jesus. This is my song. In the home and in the throng, be like Jesus all day long. I would be like Jesus. Second stanza. He has broken every fetter. I would be like Jesus. That my soul may serve him better. I would be like Jesus. All the way from earth to glory. I would be like Jesus. Telling over and over the story, I would be like Jesus. That in heaven he may meet me, I would be like Jesus. And that his words, well done, may greet me, I would be like Jesus. And so be like Jesus, this is my song. In the home and in the throng, be like Jesus. All the day long, I would be like Jesus. Now, if your heart isn't there, I would say you have a problem. And if you've come tonight and say, well, I would very much like to learn more how I can be more like Jesus, maybe the preacher might have something. I'm not going to preach as such. I'm going to teach. When you think about our blessed Lord Jesus in John 19 here, and see about his death and the benefits of really knowing him in that 34th verse, where it speaks about the one wound touching to me. That soldier with a spear pierced his side. And forthwith came out blood. And that's a legal picture of justification, remission of sins. Remission means removal and set free. Set free, and that's done legally. Justification by faith. God looks upon us and says, hey, this man is free because he's in Christ. By his blood we receive remission of sins. Wonderful. And what has the blood, the water, out came blood and water, just one wound. Out came the water, and we have the water here tonight. It talks, the water has the thought of washing and cleansing by the word of God. We're sanctified by the word of God. And I'd like to talk about those two things a little bit. And then a little more on holiness tonight. This, the matter of the blood of the Lord Jesus. You remember in the Old Testament, the Israelites were slaves in Egypt? Yes. Do you remember how they got freed? Yes. And what promised them that they would be free from Egypt? And that is the Passover lamb's blood spilled around, put around the door. And when the death angel came through and he saw that blood, they passed over that, the firstborn was not killed. We've just been reading that in a study. We're reading through the Bible, about four of us, and maybe it's more than that, but we just read that just recently. Wonderful. And and they were freed by that blood. And he, Lord Jesus, is our Paschal Lamb, our Passover Lamb, and by him we are freed. They were freed from Egypt, and we're freed from our sins. And so that subject was good. You know, there's a hymn, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. That's amazing. What does verse 34 mean then? Well, I think it has a good depth meaning to it. As they were left Egypt and they were going to the promised land, by our Lord Jesus forgiving us of our sins, we're on our way to the promised land. And that matter of justification, that's a legal word. And when the judge says, he says, not guilty, case dismissed. That's what it means. And legally, and it has to do, how about my past sins? Case dismissed. How about my present sins? And what about them? Case dismissed. You're free. How about my future sins? Case dismissed. Legally. Hey, I'll tell you something, friends. That isn't shouting something I don't know what to shout about. That all of our sins are forgiven through the blood of Jesus Christ. For without the shedding of the blood, there's no remission of sins. Hey, I feel good in that. Oh, but there's more to it than that. And that is, there's the water came forth. And the Bible speaks about water. You know, it has to do with washing and cleansing. And that is by the word of God. We're sanctified by the word of God. And becoming sanctification is becoming more like the Lord Jesus Christ, like to be separated unto him. And it has to do with morally speaking. That's right. People who have been saved morally ought to be walking. You ought to be walking and be like the Lord Jesus. We just sang, just read that hymn, be like Jesus, I'd be, would be. And not only that, but it has to do with spiritually, that we become more spiritual. Hey, listen, that happened to you, didn't it? But you remember when you were yet lost? Can you remember how the things that you did? Can you remember some of those things? There's been a change, hasn't there? Haven't you grown? Haven't you become more like the Lord Jesus? You say, well, I'm miles away, preacher. Yeah, well, we understand that. He's God. But one of these days, we're going to be just like him. Not as God, as a God, but we'll have complete holiness. Man, you look at me, you won't see sin. When I'm in heaven, complete holiness. In that way, we'll be like the Lord Jesus. Hey, we're getting there. We're on the way to the promised land. And I hope that you see that there's some scripture that would help us. And I want to make a little tour in the book of Ephesians. That's where I'd like to go for a while. Well, why Ephesians? Oh, well, I think Ephesians does a good job of explaining to us on our way to the promised land. I may even turn to it to a book study. It's been some years since I've done that. Well, where are you going to start in Ephesians? I'm going to start with chapter 1. What verse? Well, chapter 1, there's one verse that pops right out for me. You know what it is, don't you? It's verse 4. Yes, sir. Now, according as he had chosen us. That's great. In him before the foundation ruled. Chosen us what? That we should be holy. That's sanctification. He chose us to be holy and without blame before him in love. Now, you know, there are some folk that will fight the doctrine of election. Oh, you guys, you know, once saved, always saved. You believe you go to heaven. Hey, listen. Election has to do with more than God, the thought of just we are selected. It has the idea of holiness. God's elect people are to be a holy people. You want to talk about election to me? You can talk all you want to theologically, and I'll listen to you because I love it. But don't forget the next part of that subject in verse 4. And that sometimes I believe is just left out a little bit. You're going to believe in these deep truths, and that is that election has to do with that we should be holy, sanctified, without blame. Tell me more about that, will you? Election and holiness. You know, I love the reformers. And don't think that I'm going to be critical, but I have to be sometimes. I've done a lot of reading about these great men in the past, and I tell you, I love them. But I find that their great thing is the matter of imputed righteousness, and I love that, that we have Christ imputed righteousness. But I don't find a whole lot, sorry, and I do read, I don't find a lot of about imparted righteousness, of holiness now. You say, well, you haven't read enough. Okay, I'll take that, but I do study. And I think that they missed the boat a little bit, and I love it that we have Christ's righteousness and been imputed to us. And God sees us, he sees Christ's righteousness, he doesn't see our sins, and that's all that's so gracious and great of God. But I want to tell you something. He said, I've selected you, and I want you to be holy. And he said, not only that, I want you to be without blame before him in love, out of appreciation. Say, Lord, I want to do that. How am I supposed to do that? Well, chapter 2 might help us, just might help us. You say, well, I want to be more like Christ. I have enough of trouble trying to keep myself straight. Well, he'll keep you straight, all right. Look at the second chapter of Ephesians and start at verse 13. What's that have to say? Well, it says this, that he's made us a new family or something. There's been quite a change. But now, in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. Made nigh, made near. I like it, you know, near to the Lord God, to our Lord Jesus. We were far out, doing our own thing, being rebellious, heady, thinking we had all the answers. No, something's happened. By now, he says, as in knowing Christ, in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ, the benefits. For he is our peace, who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall, partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace. You know what that's saying? That's saying there may have been a time when you and I would not have gotten along. See, I don't like him. I don't like her. Back in on saved days. And he's a big shot. He's a banker. He's a lawyer. I don't have time for those guys. All you do is get my money. But when the Lord Jesus saves you, he puts you into a new family. And somehow or other, all kinds of people, races, black, white, or whatever you have, all kinds of occupations and standards and so forth, they seem to dissipate. He said, now you are one. You're one family. And I tell you, brother, I've seen that. I've experienced that. I've had men that, back in my days, I would not have cared to be around them. But when they knew the Lord, we just had some good fellowship. And I think that makes a difference. See, I don't care for that person. But if that person's a brother or a sister, let me tell you, you need to get close to that person. You find that you may really like them after all. Because this Bible says, I've broken down the wall of the law, the partition between people. All kinds of people. And that's through the new birth. I tell you, that business of being one in Christ, that's a great truth too. And this verse is telling at that. Churches are, they're divided. I go down the road, I read their signs. It said that, 9 o'clock is a traditional service. At 10 o'clock is contemporary service. Well, that's putting the young people against the old people. That's divisions. We don't want divisions in our church. That's kind of things going on all the time. You need to read Ephesians 2. We're one. I tell you, I even hesitate about Sunday school compartmentalization. Where are you going to find that in the Bible? You say we can teach children. Absolutely. But I want to tell you something. When these churches, you come to church and you say, all right, now all the children, they can go downstairs now. We're going to have the church service. And you children go downstairs for children's church. My word, that's not right. They need to be with mom and pop, and they need to be together. Oh, squawker! We'll provide a room for the squawkers, but still, hey, I like to give credit where credit's due. Will you figure out something for me? How can the Amish have 3-hour services? Come on now. I'm giving you the facts. 3-hour services, and they got a whole bunch of kids. And for 3 hours, those little tights sit there. Come on now. They sit there. Now, they get a break where they get, what's those little things? Moon pies. But they have a trick that when you're big enough to pass the moon pies, pass or the crackers, I am beginning to be an older boy or a girl. I don't eat that baby stuff. 3 hours of sitting there. Family church. They can watch, the TV for an hour without any problems. Most church, an hour, 10 minutes, so whatever. I tell you, there's some things, friends, we need to look at. I was just reading a letter from India, not Joel Sarapalli, but a letter. The magazine, where she emphasized that she came from a different class. They have classes, different kinds of classes in India. Now, I was taught way back 50-some years ago that was done away with legally, but it's still there. The lady who works on my eyes, she's from Johnstown area, and I said, I have a son-in-law from Johnstown area, and he went to University of Pittsburgh, and she said, my dad teaches there. And I said, oh, really? What's he teach? He teaches English. And I said, oh, that's good. That's great. And she said, we're of the education class. What? We're of the education class. They have class distinctions. Task distinction. Thank you. Now, listen, that's not what that's saying here. The Bible says I have done away with that. And if you have class distinction, you don't know what that means. That's one of the benefits of Christ. Blood and his water coming forth from that one wound when he died here, the one sufficient death. Now then, where are we? Well, we're there in 2 Ephesians. I thought, wasn't it wonderful when the Lord Jesus, he needed something. What did the Lord need? In his humanity, he also got hungry. He also got thirsty. He also experienced, I believe, sickness. I know he experienced pain at the cross. And so the disciples are on to get uptown to get something to provision and so forth, and he's sitting there at the well, and here comes this lady. What a sinner. Terrible sinner. And he asked her that he might have a drink of water. And she was taught, have no dealings with those Jews. That's the way her background was. And she reminded him, we don't have any dealings with one another. And then he talked to her graciously. How kind of the Lord to speak to her so with truth and grace and won her over to salvation. She became a real disciple of Christ. Brethren, if you think you've arrived and you really haven't become grown as far as sanctification, that you might be like Jesus and practice truth and grace that he practiced when he was here on this earth. Oh, dear friends, I trust that you desire this. Zacchaeus, what a character he was, too. Boy, he was robbing people like you wouldn't believe in the tax business. And he's up there in a sycamore tree. The Lord says to him, Zacchaeus, I must go to your house today. Our Lord was poor as poor. That man was wealthy, wicked, a real rascal with people's money. And he said, I must go to your house today. And old Zacchaeus got saved. And he became more like the Lord Jesus. Yeah. Marvelous. Now we're supposed to be ambassadors for Christ, the Bible says. Now ambassadors will talk about their country and talk about their king. I'm wondering how you're making out as far as the matter of holiness. Are you talking about the king? No, I'll talk about Jesus. That people might know there's reconciliation. You can be reconciled to God. God is angry with the wicked every day. Wow. You need to be reconciled. You talk about the Lord Jesus and how they can be reconciled. And I want to tell you something. God's elect people, they'll be saved. Don't give up and say, well, you Calvinists, you guys, what are you? You don't have any compassion for the lost. You're not evangelistic. You're not missionary minded. We're in a world of the bend. We believe that we go out there and we talk about Jesus. There are people out there who will receive the word of God. The Spirit of God will save them. As we give them the word of God is taken and God saves them. Salvation is of God. It's not a lost cause. If I'm an Armenian, I go out there and say, well, I don't think anything's going to happen. You know, I don't know if I'm smart enough or good enough or handsome enough that people will listen to my talk. It's not your talk. It's talking about Jesus. That's what it's all about. Well, let's go on to the fourth chapter. While we're here, taking a little tour before we have the observance of the Lord's Supper. Where are you going to look for the fourth chapter? Well, I want to read a section of this book. I want to start to read in the fourth chapter of Ephesians at verse 20. I'll tell you, there's some change. You're talking about holiness and being more Christ-like. Listen to this. But ye have not so learned Christ. If so be that you have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, and here's watch this, that ye put off concerning the former conversation of the old man. Now, I'm going to stop from time to time. You know, it's one thing to say, you know, about the old days before I was saved, I did this and I did that. And let's not just major on that. The former things. We don't need to major on those former things. But put off concern of former things. Put them off, the conversation, the way of life of the old man. What old man? The old nature. There's a new man, there's an old man. We have the Adamic nature that is from Adam. You know, old Adam. I'm going to say, Grandpa, I want to ask you something. The Bible says you were perfect. And you know what? If you're in Christ, you're perfect. Yeah, yes you are. In God's sight, you're perfect. But he had what we had. He had a nature, and he fell. And we receive his nature by the process of posterity. But you see, put off concerning those former ways of the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Boy, I tell you, that's why we need to read the Word of God. I tell you, you think you can just be a Christ-like person just by going to church. That won't cut it. You need to be reading the Word of God. And by the way, if you have a little trouble reading it, you can buy the Old New Testament for not too bad of a price. I bought some copies of the Old Testament, New Testament for $1.06. Wish I could have bought a whole raft of them. They only had five. I've already passed them out. Listen, you can listen to the Word of God while you're working, ladies, fellas, while you're even driving. Now, I realize, don't be talking, but you can be listening to the Word of God. I go down the highway, and the windows are all closed, and I hear boom, 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 and they're listening, aren't they? So, hey, look at this verse. Put off concerning the former conversation, the manner of life of the old man, which is corrupt according to deceitful lust, be renewed in the spirit of your mind, that you put on the new man. That's what we got to do, friends. We need the new man, and that which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, do what? How can I be more Christ-like? Put away lying. Speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. There are some things it's right to be angry about and get huffy and puffy about it. But you don't let that thing so boil that you can't go to bed and sleep. It's, hey, wives, it's nice to settle off matters before you go to bed. I look at that verse 26. See, don't like some of the ways we do, girls? But the Bible says you can be angry. You may be right in that. But don't let the sun go down upon your anger, your wrath. These are some things how we might be more Christ-like through the book of Ephesians. Now then, verse 27, neither give place to the devil. What? Would Christians give place to the devil? Oh, yeah. You can do that. You mean the devil can indwell you? Doesn't say that. But he'll take advantage of it if you want to play. He'll rage for you. Don't do it. Neither give place to him. Turn away. What about this next thing? All-time high is shoplifting. All Christians wouldn't have anything to do with that. Come on. I've heard of some big people getting caught for shoplifting, and they didn't have any need to. They had money. All right. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the things which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth, to distribute it. Oh, I think that's good. There are Christians that need help. And if you're spiritually nosy enough, you can see that they need help. They don't have anything near what you have. Share with one another. I want to get to that about the advantage of Christ's church. Boy, that is so precious. Now, what else? Verse 29, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. To edify profitably. You mean what? Well, the TV is just full of comedians, but the way to get you to laugh mostly is just kind of shady stuff. That's really makes people. And the people laugh and laugh. You know, the Bible speaks about people laughing and going into hell laughing. Wow. It says be careful now. Be careful. That business of corrupt communication, proceed out of your mouth. Verse 30, grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of the redemption. You mean I can grieve the Spirit of God? Yes, sir, you can. If you're obstinate and having your way and you're right and everybody else is wrong and you're just going to do it your way and that's the way I've always been taught, that's the way I'm going to do it. Listen, I got to tell you, holiness has to do with a lot about that we're too close to the world. Too close to the world. Anyway, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be kind one to another. Hey, brethren, can't we take a lesson here? Be kind one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. You think we need just to shut the book and say, I don't need to know this stuff. I've already arrived. I know I haven't. Because I can see, dear friends, that there is something in this aspect to one another, even amongst Christians, especially amongst preachers, that the kindness is there, not there, tenderheartedness and forgiving one another and all that. So there are some things. Well, let's go on to the fifth chapter of Ephesians. You said you're going to take a tour. All right, let's go to... Oh, wow, here we go, ladies. We're going to talk about marriage. And you ladies need to learn some things. You ladies, I got news for you. If men talk that way, they don't know Ephesians 5. Because in the midst... Oh, by the way, this is today starting... Till next Sunday, National Marriage Week. Yeah. Yeah, you're probably reading the paper. National Marriage Week. And I'm not going to knock it. I think that's an area that does need a lot of work, even amongst Christians. I'm not going to knock it. Not at all. I mean, next Sunday is a Roman Catholic day, St. Valentine's Day, that's Roman Catholic, but... I'm not going to even knock that. We need to have all the love and romance we can get here among Christians. But I want to tell you something. If you turn to Ephesians 5, right in the midst of where you like to say, sick 'em, preacher, I'll say, go to the B section of verse 5, 25. What's the B section? well, there's A, there's B, and there's C. Okay, that sounds pretty good. Verse 25. Not the B section there. I'll get to the B section. Hold on a minute. Husbands, love your wives even as Christ. That's it. That's the B section. Even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Now, we're entering into a realm here that many times in marriages, you don't get it. This is talking about Christ and the church. Look at this. Hey, fellas, and listen, you're to love your wives, love your wife, even as Christ also loved the church. But you're to take that and think about that. Put away the marriage aspect for a moment. Can you do that? Well, I want to be like the Lord Jesus. Want to be like the Lord Jesus? Okay. Verse 25 of B. Even as Christ loved the church, how did he do that? And he gave himself for it. Go on. That he might sanctify and cleanse it. And this has to do with you and me if we know Christ. And cleanse it with the washing of water. How? How do we get washed? How do we get clean? A washing of water by the word of God. That's what it is. That he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy. There's our sanctification, to be holy and without blemish. Brethren, that's terrific. What does the Lord Jesus want? He says, I want you to be like me. And he says, I am holy, without blemish, and he's a glorious, and he said, it's true, God-man, and that it is by the word of God. We need to read the word of God. I just think that's good. You know, we get so much of a hurry in a wedding, we'll just go right through that. But it's talking about those of us who are part of Christ's church. You say, I belong to the Christ church. You do. Yes, sir. What's he want of me? Well, he says, I want you to be like Jesus. I want you to love as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it, and that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of the water of the word, and spend some time in the word of God, and that he might present it to himself. He wants a glorious church. He wants us to be holy, friends. He does. A glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. Boy. Now, I want to talk a little bit more. And I guess the best place I'm going to go, I talked to the men there from Ephesians. Let's go to the women now. You women, First Peter. We're going to talk about a subject that has relevance not just to you women, but to us men. It does it really? Oh, yes, 1 Peter. And what's this about? Holiness, being more like the Lord Jesus. Christ-likeness, really? Well, put it to the women then, will you please? All right, but there's application to us men, folks. I'm in 1 Peter chapter 3. You there? I want to look at the first 12 verses. Why? Well, if we're going to talk about how to live in this world, there are certain things that he requires of us. We can talk about legalism here if we want to tonight. I think I'll start there. Years ago, I had two preachers sitting in our living room over there, and we were talking church. These are good boys. And he said, we find the church has too much legalism. And my ears went up. What do you mean? Well, you can't do this, you can't do that. Just the preachers just talking about that all the time. I said, wait a minute. Let's get our definitions right. They thought they had it right. What is legalism, preachers? Well, you can't do this and you can't do that. And so, whoa. Legalism has to do with working or doing ritualistic things in order that you might get the approval of God. It's trying to work your way to heaven in some manner, shape, or form. I do right, I sit right, I say right because I want to do this before God so I can get to heaven. That's legalism. Trying to do something to get to heaven. Don't be saying otherwise. Don't be saying legalism to me. Unless you're trying to tell me this person is doing ritual and religious things in order that they might receive the approval of God, that he might get to heaven. Legalism, that's what that means. Well, all right, what does that have to do with 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 1 through 12? Well, stay in there a bit. It says, likewise, ye wives, be subject to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, that they also may, without the word, be won by the conversation or the way of the life, the living of their wives. That's wonderful. While they behold your chaste conversation or way of life coupled with fear, ladies, this isn't something you should fight. Whose adorning, let it not be with the outward adorning of plaiting the hair or and of wearing of gold or of putting on of apparel, but let it be the hidden man of the heart, in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God, a great price. For after this manner, in the old time, the old women also who trusted in God, they adorned themselves, and being in subjection unto their own husband, even Sarah, I like this, Sarah obeyed Abraham, called him Lord, whose daughters ye are, as long as ye do well, and are not afraid with any amazement. Oh, I wouldn't do that. You're afraid? Obey the word of God. Likewise, now you husbands, likewise ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge. I don't know. I have to study my wife. You better. According to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. Wonderful. Finally, be all of one mind, having compassion one of another. Love us, brethren. Be pitiful. Be courteous. Not rendering evil for evil, or railing for railing, but contrariwise blessing, knowing that ye are thereunto called, that ye should inherit a blessing. For he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil, and his lips that they speak no guile. Let him eschew evil and do good. Let him seek peace and ensue it. For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. Isn't that wonderful? I'm in Christ, and Christ is in me. And he has given me a new life. I'm a new creature. Old things have passed away. All things become new. I'm in Christ and he's in me. All right. He said, that's what, you got the point. Now he said, these are areas that you need to be working on. And husbands, how you wives, you need to be working on those things too. But you say that's too practical. That doesn't seem like... That doesn't seem like it honors the Lord Jesus, talking like that, telling people how they should dress. Doesn't make sense. That's what I say to the reformers. The Bible speaks about be holy as I'm holy. I did have the number, I think, hundreds of times it says, God said, I want you to be holy as I'm holy. Well, then, reformers, let's be talking about some of these things. He said, this is my word. This is what I expect. This is what I expect of the benefits of knowing the Lord Jesus. He's in you and you're in him. And he says, there are some areas that you need to work out while we're walking on this old earth. And dear ladies, you can throw a hymnal at me if you want to, but I'm going to say, aim it at this book, please. Aim for this book if you're going to throw something at me. Because this is what God says. What does it say there? Well, it says, you gals need to be careful that your adorning is scriptural. My adorning? Yes. You see, if you follow the culture of the day, and a lot of Christians do that, they're so close to the world that they're gonna do just like the world does. Some Christians even believe they ought to look like the world. Who wants to be an oddball by the clothes that's up to date, in style? Well, if you would just take time and do a little study about people who are the creation of these new outfit girls, and I'm just going to spend some time here, you'll find that They're wicked people. And they want you to be sensuous in your appearance. Well, God gave me. I know, and that's good. Thank the Lord what he's given to you. But don't be showing it to everybody. That's what it's saying here. It is adorning properly. And not to be sensuous. It's saying it says don't be immodest. The Bible speaks about immodesty. And ladies, you said, I don't want you to be immodest. I don't know particularly like to do it, but it's tragic how people look. We talked about this morning, didn't we, Mary Jane? Let's go back to that passage. Let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 22 and verse 5. I'm not going to fight that passage. I don't want you to fight that passage. Deuteronomy 22 and verse 5. And it has to do with being holy. And I think that there's a way of understanding that. What is it? Well, it says that there has to be a distinction in Deuteronomy 22 and verse 5. What distinction? The woman shall not wear that which pertaineth unto a man. Neither shall a man put on a woman's garment, for all that do so are abomination unto the Lord thy God. Now you say, well, then it means that girls can't wear slacks. I don't quite read it that way. My wife won't do it hardly at all, but you go down to the barn, you better put some slacks on. You're going to go make hay, you better put them over under your dress. I often said this, and I'm still talking about holiness. I worked on the farm where the girls wore dresses on the hay wagons. They didn't have slacks. Well, so what? Well, as a boy, I didn't see any free shows. Well, so what? I just want to say to you, the world is saying, it's all right to wear them, and I'm not, and they got to be tight, and so that there's a very tight forming, and that's fine. No, it isn't fine. That's not modest. Just because you're covered, ladies, that doesn't mean you're modest. Well, you don't need to say this to us, preacher. I'm going to go back to first Peter 3. Throw a book at me if you want to. I'll hold up the Bible. It says there, and it's New Testament. Now, as I said about the matter, I believe that Deuteronomy 22, very simply, is the Lord wants distinctions. And it gripes me to no end. I'm driving down the street and I'll say, it looks like two men there. My wife says, well, I don't know. She's even a woman. She can't tell. When the women are dressed and look like men, and by the way, I might as well get another book thrown at me. The Bible speaks that women should have long hair. Oh, no! It's their glory. Oh, no! You don't know what it is to comb and long hair. You can talk like all you want to, preacher. No, I'm just giving the Word of God. Hence, shame for men to have long hair. Oh, come on! New Testament! Holiness! Argue with God on it. It's wrong for men to have long hair, pigtail way down. There's distinction. God says, I want distinction. I'm not going to tell you what to wear, but have some distinction. You're a male, then be a male. Why do the restrooms have to put on their men that have trousers and women have dresses? Maybe you can help me figure it out sometime, old man. But let's use some common sense holiness. I'm not on this to preach on this thing as such, but listen, dear friend, this is what the Lord Jesus, he said, out of one wound, one cross, came forth blood first, justification by faith. And that has to do with legally, I'm a free man, thank God. And also came water, water having to do with washing and cleansing, sanctification. Oh, brethren, that's part of our task. He wants us to be like him. You say, I don't understand that. Well, I do. How am I going to do it? I know what we'll do. Let's do this. Let's close the door. Let's all live here in this house. We'll eat here and we'll be isolated from the world. Some people think that's what Christians ought to do. Go up on a mountain someplace, be isolated, so we don't have the world to deal with. And those who have done that, they said, I still had an awful lot of problems with my mind. It's in my head. Well, that's the old nature. No, don't be separated from the world. The Lord Jesus, I told you about the Samaritan woman. He was gracious and truthful to her and winsome to her. How wicked woman she was, lost sinner, and she come to know Christ. No, don't go into isolation. Some people say, well, I don't have any non-Christian friends. Well, so? Well, I'm a holy person. You are. I don't think you have that right. We need to talk to folk about the Lord Jesus. The Bible says we're to live in the world but not be part of it. They can tell. They can tell by your talk. And if you're like the world, they say, hey, I never heard him talk like, he doesn't talk like us. He talks different. And he wants to talk about knowing the Lord or something. That's fine. That's fine. Well, I don't think we should live as close as we can to the world. I want to get as close as I can to the world. I don't want to fall, but I want to be as close as I can to that cliff. That doesn't make sense. Drive close as you can, does it? Stay away from it. If you're a good driver, to show that you're a good driver, you stay away from the cliff as much as you can. Right, brother? Stay away from the cliff. As far as you can get on the safe side. And to say, well, I'm in the world, but let me ask you something. What kind of music do you like? Well, yeah, you like this Christian rock. The Bible churches really like it. They're becoming increasingly that they're practicing Christian rock, and they call it Christian rock. We just heard on the news a mall down near Pottsville. It's been, a lot of places are empty and vacant, so the church said, well, I guess what we'll do, we'll put a platform up there and put the band up there and we'll have Christian rock so these kids that are hanging out in the mall, that they'll hear this music and we'll win them over. By Christian rock? I thought it was through foolishness of preaching. Yeah, well, entertainment had to follow the way of the world. We got to go to worldly entertainment. You got to be there. And worldly thinking. I tell you, friend, having been a school teacher for many, many years, I have learned this. That old school that you pay your real estate or school tax on, that's Caesar's school. And they're going to preach Caesar to your kids. They're going to tell you how to obey the government. Obey the government. Obey Caesar. I don't want anything to do with Christ. Get Christ out of my life. Be socialistic. Liberal. Say, I don't know what happened to my kids. Man, they don't even seem to be interested in spiritual things at all. Send them to university. The university will have liberal, modernistic, socialist, communist, and they'll teach your boy and your girl, and they won't melt anything spiritually. Boy, you are radical. Well, I think some of you need to get radical. Just buy up all we can. And the Lord says, listen, one of my benefits of shedding my blood, and also the matter of the water coming forth, is that you be justified and you be sanctified. I want you to be like me. You won't be like me if you do all those kind of things. And you read the worldly things, listen to the worldly things, watch the worldly things. I can understand why people say, I think we'll get rid of the TVs. No, I don't agree with them. I think if you do your homework, find out what's on before you go blinking around on it. You say, well, I don't know where to find that. You can buy a, if you have a computer, you can find out what's on 8 o'clock and 9 o'clock. No problem at all. Tell you all about it. So you don't want to sit there and, woo, don't want to watch that. And watch a filthy movie. Christians watching movies that are filthy. You think that's right? You think the preacher shouldn't say something about that? Well, the Word of God says about that. You say, well, I believe in Christian liberty, preacher. You do? What do you mean by Christian liberty? Well, as a Christian, I can do pretty much what I want to do. Oh, wonder where you got your training to believe that Christian liberty means you can do what you want to do. Actually, Christian liberty doesn't mean that at all. It means free to serve the Lord Jesus. Don't give me that thing. I can do what I want to. I'm a free in Christ. No, you're free to serve the Lord Jesus in Christian liberty. Let's get on. Because I feel that I don't feel real comfortable talking about those things, but it has to be done. Now, Hebrews 12, we're near there. And I want to close up. Yeah, I should be closing up right now. Hebrews 12. And I want to look at verse 19. Why? Well, just so you leave here, at least with this thought, and that is in Hebrews 12 and verse 19. And the sound of the trumpet, that's not it. And the voice of them, that's not it. That's not it. I have the wrong passage there. I want where without holiness no man shall see the Lord and follow peace. The scripture says follow peace. And yeah, there it is. That's it, verse 14. I can't read my own writing, friends. Follow peace with all men. That comes first. And holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. How do we get peace? Peace comes through the Lord Jesus Christ. And that some people don't put that on there. We have to have peace through Christ. When we have peace with Christ, we can be at peace with all. And holiness. Because if you don't think this is important, the Bible says without holiness, no person is going to see the Lord. See, I don't know if I go along with you tonight. All right, go your way. Because without sanctification and holiness, you're not going to see the Lord. And I want to see the Lord. I believe you do too. And so peace has to do with justification, and holiness has to do with sanctification. Now I'll say this quickly. What would be your advice to me? I'd say, first of all, find that you have sound forgiveness, that you have received a new birth. Okay, I understand that. Be soundly safe. What else are you going to tell me? I'm going to say, find a sound church. I really believe this. A sound church where you to love it. I'll tell you something. Get some good fellowship. Fellowship of the saints. Hey, talk about the saints. Preacher, don't you know there's something going on about the saints down there tonight? Yeah, I'm talking about the saints of the Bible. And that's who you better listen to. And I tell you what, they aren't much of a saints if they take the Lord's Day and play games and so forth. You say, oh, that's narrow. Sorry, this is the Lord's Day, first day of the week, resurrection of Jesus Christ. And I know we haven't arrived. I haven't arrived, but I know it's Jesus' day. We get so close to sports that we just have to listen, have to have it. Well, go ahead and leave. I can continue. But find a church where there's some good fellowship and have good preaching and have where there's praying, people pray, and that there would be singing and praising the Lord and the singing of hymns and psalms, and that practice the ordinances of baptism and the Lord's Supper, which we hope to practice the Lord's Supper, and be committed. I don't want to get on committed, being committed. I hear people say, well, he can't commit. The commitment is not found today. I think churches, we need to be committed to the churches. I think we need to be committed in attendance and in our gifts and finances. And I think we ought to, you know what? His glory is in the church. By Christ Jesus, it says. Now, where's your glory going to be? Well, listen, the Bible says that his glory is in the church by Christ Jesus. That's where your glory ought to be too. We need all the help we can to fight sin, friends. We're in a spiritual battle. And we need to realize this. The battle is already won. You know which side you're on. Make sure you're on the right side. This is a great life. And I think we need to know the Lord Jesus. I said to Brother Bob, we're not going to try to sing it. Would you mind if we just me read it to you? That what? A hymn. Like what? 476. What's so important about that German hymn? Well, it's a good German hymn. 476. For closing, what's it say? It says, rise my soul to watch and pray. from thy sleep awaken. Be not by the evil day unawares overtaken. For the foe, well we know, oft his harvest reaping while the Christian sleepeth. No. Watch against the devil's snares, the traps, lest asleep he find thee. For indeed no pains he spares to deceive and blind thee. Satan's prey, oft are they who secure are sleeping, and no watching are keeping. Third stanza, watch. Let not the wicked world with its power defeat thee. Watch lest with her pomp unfurled she betray and cheat thee. Watch and see, lest there be faithless friends to charm thee, who but seek to harm thee. Four stanza. Watch against thyself, my soul, lest with grace thou trifle. Let not self thy thoughts control, nor God's mercy strife. Pride and sin lurk within. Yeah. All thy hopes to scatter, heed not when they flatter. Lastly, but while watching, always pray to the Lord unceasing. He will free thee, be thy stay, strength and faith increasing. O Lord, bless in distress, and let nothing swerve me from the will to serve thee. Hey, those old boys. Ja, sehr gut, danke schön. That's the way to write a hymn. Let's pray. Now, our Father, as we experience your goodness in so many ways, help us to hear your word tonight. Help us that we might be carrying forth the name of the Lord Jesus about our daily lives. Help us, Lord, where we are weak and where we need help and areas of our lives, spirit, soul, and body. Thank you for bathing us in the blood of the Lord Jesus and by the washing of the Word of God. In the name of Christ, whom we desire to look upon tonight as we observe the Lord's Supper. In his name we pray. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this recording from the Sovereign Grace Baptist Church of Muncie, Pennsdale, Pennsylvania. We trust that it will have a lasting and eternal blessing to you. We would encourage you to visit us at 325 Yetter Road, Muncie, Pennsdale, Pennsylvania, or by way of our website at www.localchurchpa.com. That's www.localchurchpa.com. For further information, please call us at 570-546-6859 or email us at email@localchurchpa.com.